KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I'm from Pacific Heights.
I'm from Milpitas,
Union City.
Mission Bay.
I do not know where I'm from.
Bernal Heights.
And I'm from the Sunset.
Coming up, the Warriors are moving to a stadium without a BART stop. So how are fans going to get to the game?
The traffic will be big, and the city's going to have to deal with that. And I think they are, but I think there's a ways to go.
Then the final series is almost over. We'll hear how fans can still get their basketball fix in the offseason.
I think it's incredible that our city supports these kind of leagues with such high-end games with great talent, and they offer for free for the community. I just think it's a great night out for the families.
Get your game on. Cross Currents is coming up. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Well, it's Warriors Wednesday, and if Monday night's game in Toronto was any indication, things are heating up as we get closer to the end of the finals. We've been following the Warriors last season in Oakland on our original podcast, Bounce, and first up today on the show, our latest episode. Here's host Ben Trefney.
NBA Finals. Game 5 at Toronto, 3 minutes to go. The Golden State Warriors have been ahead for most of the game, but now they trail the Raptors by 6 in what could be their final game of the season.
Thompson finds an opening, 3-pointers up, it's good! Klay Thompson from downtown!
What price success? Even when the Warriors won Game 2 of this series, people called it a Pyrrhic victory. Thompson got hurt, so did forward Kevon Looney. The team went on to lose the next 2 games at home. The Canadian fans sang their national anthem at Oracle Arena. Back to Game 5. 2 minutes left. The Dubs get a stop.
Curry has the ball. Minute and a half remaining. Curry gets a look, fires away.
They might not have even been in this game had their injured superstar, Kevin Durant, not come back from a right calf injury. He started, hit 3 triples, then went down.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it.
But the Warriors kept battling. 1 minute left.
Thompson, one fake, one dribble, one shot. Got it! Golden State retakes the lead.
The Warriors played for decades before Bay Area fans. They lost more than they won. Then, star players, new ownership, a culture of winning coupled with the most expensive tickets in the association. What cost?
And the Warriors' three-peat dream is still alive, showing championship heart here tonight on the road.
Now they're coming home to Oakland, win or lose for the final time. This is Bounce, the Warriors' last season in Oakland. I'm Ben Trefney. So that was in Toronto. How did the Warriors' dramatic Game 5 win sound in the town? That's the sound of fans watching at Mad Oak near Lake Merritt. One of them is Dred Scott. He's got a lot on his mind.
I think if they win this year, they will have a way better fresh start in San Francisco as opposed to losing and coming off a losing championship and not knowing who you're going to have on your team.
Most of the players are free agents. That includes 3 starters. They could be gone. The team will definitely be gone. They're crossing the water to Mission Bay, to a brand new, clean-lined, spit-polished part of San Francisco built on former train yards. And that transportation tie-in is ironic, because the new Chase Center is not that easy to get to, especially compared with Oracle Arena. Up until now, Warriors fans could just hop BART to the Coliseum stop and cross the footbridge to watch basketball. But the new arena, it's not close to BART, and there won't be much parking on site. Just 950 spots for a sports center that'll fit 18,000 people. So Dubs fans are wondering, how are they going to get to the game? Eli Wirtschafter went to find out.
The Warriors are about to play one of their last games in Oakland. It's about a half hour before the tip-off of Game 3 of the Finals. And right now, the main action is at BART.
This is Coliseum Oakland Airport Station.
A train pulls in the Coliseum station, and fans in yellow and blue pour out onto the platform. Lewis Gentry always takes BART to the game.
Now, I love the current options because it's like 20 minutes door-to-door for me.
Lewis works in Fremont, so it's easy.
I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts. I've enjoyed it for many years, and I'll have to suck it up in a few months.
He does plan to go to Warriors games in San Francisco, but not as many.
I won't be able to get off of work at 3 o'clock all the time, so it's definitely going to affect East Bayers.
Another fan from Alameda, who just gives his name as Joe, is not going to make the trip to Mission Bay.
Way too much of a pain in the ass to get out there.
Because from what he's heard about the public transit options,
it's going to be packed.
So could this be your last game that you go to?
Yes. So I'm getting choked up. Been doing this for 19 years.
This is what the move means to longtime fans in the East Bay. They can either take transit to the new stadium, drive there, or give up. The city of San Francisco is saying, don't give up. Come to the new arena. But please don't drive.
We want everyone to feel like transit's the best choice.
Tom McGuire is the head of the city's Sustainable Streets Division in the SFMTA. It's his job to make sure neighborhoods aren't overrun with cars. UCSF Medical Center is right across the street from the arena, and some of its staff tried to stop the Warriors from coming to Mission Bay. They were worried that traffic would freeze up access to the hospital.
It's literally a matter of life and death to them. We made a commitment that we will not let Warriors traffic prevent either staff access or, most importantly, emergency access.
So there's a plan in place to keep some streets open to emergency vehicles only. But the city's goal to reduce traffic isn't just about emergency access. It's also about safety and convenience, about pollution and noise. And if you want to reduce traffic, the first step is not providing a ton of parking. Besides the 950 spots under the stadium, nearby private parking lots have space for 2,000 more cars. But remember, that's for an arena that seats 18,000.
We know we're dealing with record levels of traffic congestion in the city, but we also know that we've got a world-class transit system and we're rolling out lots of new options, so all the Warriors fans who want to get here will have a great way to get here.
All right, let's see what those new transit options look like. I head out to Mission Bay on a Thursday afternoon. It feels like everything is under construction. The place swarms with an army of workers in orange vests. They're rushing around to get everything built in time. And remember, the Chase Center isn't just a basketball arena. It will host about 200 other events throughout the year. And that starts on September 6th, with a sold-out concert starring Metallica and the San Francisco Symphony. But amidst all this chaos, at least one person seems perfectly at ease. And that's Peggy Fahnestock, my guide to Mission Bay.
It's crazy, but, you know, it's fun. Place has changed so much in the time I've been here.
Peggy moved into a brand new apartment building here 10 years ago and put down roots. She's on the board of the Neighborhood Association. She says everyone here is new.
This was the Southern Pacific Railroad Yard, and before that it was a bay. So, and there were some warehouses here, but it wasn't like it was a gentrification. It was like there was nobody here.
Peggy lives just two blocks away from the Chase Center. That and the future Uber headquarters. And all the new UCSF buildings.
The stadium itself is just an addition to the general congestion. I'm actually looking forward to it.
The stadium.
Yeah. But I do think the city has to really address the transportation issue here.
Peggy walks me over to 3rd Street in front of the arena. In front of us, an excavator breaks up the pavement to make way for a new supersized Muni light rail platform, twice as long as a normal one.
Apparently, it's going to hold four two-car trains, two on each side.
The Warriors paid for the new platform and four new Muni trains. They're spending $14 million a year on transportation. That's more than they pay for Sean Livingston and DeMarcus Cousins combined. Anyway, after a game gets out, a bunch of trains will be waiting here, ready to whisk fans back to BART or to other destinations.
So that's what this is all about, is that so they can get the people out, get them on the platform, get them on the train, get them out of here.
So for an East Bay fan trying to get back to BART, this is option number one. You board the T-Line here at the stadium, ride to the Embarcadero. Option number two is to get over to the 16th Street BART station. I know. What? Yeah, the geography of this totally blew my mind, but the BART stop in the Mission is actually a closer drive than any other BART station. And if you take a bus, you might get there even faster. Peggy shows me.
They put this dedicated bus lane in maybe 9 months ago. Before that, it was just two lanes in each direction.
When there's an event at the arena, Muni will run additional shuttles here, straight from 16th Street BART. So if you want to get to BART on public transit, you can take a bus or light rail and transfer. But let's say you live in Richmond. Getting home at night involves two transfers and could easily take an hour and a half. Now, there's still one more way for fans to get across the bay without a car.
You see the remnants of all the old piers as you walk along here.
Here on the shore at the foot of 16th Street.
They're going to build a dock.
For ferries. Yes, ferry boats will be able to take over 1,000 people a night back to Alameda and to Marin. And in 2021, a larger ferry landing is expected to be built, which can take even more riders to more places. But Peggy doesn't think the extra Muni service and a couple ferries will be enough to serve everyone going to this area.
And the traffic will be big, and the city's going to have to deal with that. And I think they are, but I think there's a ways to go.
The Warriors expect that at a sold-out game, a little less than half of fans will take mass transit. That's thousands of extra riders on the system. A Warriors spokesman says they expect more than 2,000 to take Uber and Lyft, which doesn't exactly solve the traffic problem. On nights when there's a Giants game nearby and an event at Chase Center, things will be even more crowded. The city has written up plans for all these scenarios, but in the end, they'll learn as they go.
Make transit your first choice and also bear with us.
This is Tom McGuire again with the SFMTA.
The thing we learned when we opened the Giants ballpark 19 years ago was that we did pretty well on the first day, but we did even better on the next day. And so every day we're going to be working to make sure the congestion's a little better, everyone's a little bit safer, and that Muni works a little bit better.
It doesn't seem like most Warriors fans are daunted by the new commute. 70% of season ticket holders have renewed for next year at the new stadium.
That story was reported by Eli Wirtschafter.
That was an episode from our podcast, Bounce, the Warriors' last season in Oakland. You can listen to all 10 episodes on your favorite podcast player. And while you're there, make sure you're subscribed to the Cross Currents podcast, too. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. The Warriors have two games to go in the final series, but win or lose, what's a hoops fan to do in the offseason? Well, those in the know head to the east end of San Francisco's Golden Gate Park to see professional-level basketball live and in person for free all summer long. The San Francisco Bay Area Pro-Am League has featured former and current college stars, former high school stars, and even some professional players for 40 years. In this story from our archives, Christy Cole reports on some of last season's action.
Before basketball games at Kezar Pavilion in the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood, there are no slick video presentations on Jumbotrons. No fireworks shooting out of scoreboards before player introductions. No Jay-Z and Beyonce in floor-level seats. There is basketball stripped down to its essence.
Hey, you're up now. You guarding three, right? Let's put some pressure on it. Chase him around the floor. Everybody help on the backside. Offensively, we're
Coach
good.
Sly Hunter gives instructions to his team, the East Bay. They're one of eight men's teams playing in the San Francisco Bay Area Pro-Am League this season. Tonight, they're taking on the South Bay Spartans before a crowd of about 50 people. East Bay's down six near the end of the second quarter.
It's the same thing over and over. Three on three. One, two, three. Defense.
The Pro-Am League is run by the San Francisco Parks and Recreation Department. There's a roster limit of 15 players. But in tonight's contest, the Spartans have only six players. The East Bay has 12.
Let's go. Pick up.
South Bay tightens up its defense and scores a couple of more baskets. At the half, the Spartans lead 53-43. Spectators on flat brown benches sit close enough to hear coaches and players talk strategy. Clayton Smith is a regular.
I've been coming to games here at Kezar, and I used to come to old 49er games back in the day when the 49ers played at the stadium, which is adjacent to, you know, Kezar Pavilion, of course.
This year, he's watching his nephew, Kendall Smith, play. The younger Smith grew up in Antioch. He just finished his college basketball career at Oklahoma State. He's just the type of player Pro-Am League director John Greenberg had in mind when he first started putting on these city games back in 1979. He and his Parks and Rec bosses wanted to give local basketball talent a venue and an audience. Because when these players leave...
We've lost track of them. We haven't been able to see them. Kids can't go to a college game because the transportation isn't there. They can't go to a NBA game because of the finances or the transportation. So the idea was, you know what? Maybe we can bring them back into a nice venue here in San Francisco and make it free to the public.
Those early games were played at the Potrero Hill Rec Center, but the league quickly outgrew it. Now games are at Kezar, near the center of the city.
You start late enough where you could go home, shower, have dinner with the family, whatever, and come down here and enjoy it. And if you look up in the stands, you'll see a good composite of families, which this is all about. Summertime is family time. So this is just another activity that those families can take advantage of and not worry about paying something at the door.
The coaches, refs, and scorekeepers donate their time. Parks and Rec covers the other costs. In between quarters and during timeouts, kids run onto the floor to shoot around. When the teams are ready to start up again, the kids scamper off. The San Francisco Bay Area Pro-Am is one of many such leagues around the country, including the Crossover Pro-Am in Seattle and the Rucker League in Harlem. Sometimes stars come out to join the fun. NBA Hall of Famers, including Gary Payton and Jason Kidd, have played at Kezar. Steph Curry scored 43 in a dazzling game in 2014. And it's not just men. There's a women's pro-am, too. They play on Saturdays, and the scene is a little different from the men's weeknight games. For openers, this game started at 10 a.m. There is no announcer. There's no music piped in between quarters, either. These teams are playing before a smaller crowd, about 20 people. But the intensity and the talent running up and down the floor are at a very high level. We'll pick up this game near the end of the fourth quarter. Bay City is up 73-72 against San Francisco. Bay City coach Brian Gardier sets up a play.
You're going to duck him, take the middle girl. You're going to run right past the floor. You're going to throw it right to Morgan for a leg.
The players take the floor. As the seconds tick down, the teams battle. Bay City takes the lead and hangs on. Final score, 82-78. The teams walk toward each other on the sideline to shake hands and high five. San Francisco coach and interim league director Monica Wiley joins me after the game. I ask what drives her to dedicate herself to the Pro-Am.
I will need to think about that, having lost by 4 points just now. I need to think about that for a minute. I enjoy the game of basketball. I really like working with younger players who are still really enthusiastic about the game, who enjoy playing, who, you know, play on a daily basis and are really interested in getting better.
The Women's League has been going on for 23 years. That's longer, actually, than the WNBA has even been in existence. And in fact, scouts from the U.S. and international teams often drop by to watch the players. John Greenberg's hoping to build a buzz for locals, too. Wiley, Gardier, and others are taking on promoting and adding new energy to the Women's League. That should get more fans watching free, competitive, quality basketball right in the middle of San Francisco. At Kezar Pavilion, I'm Christy Cole for Cross Currents.
The first game of the season is Monday, June 17th, where SF City will be facing off against South Bay. And as always, the games are free. Tune into Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. A new kind of doula, a death doula, wants to give agency to people at the end of their lives.
When the person is actively dying, we should already have a pretty good sense of who they are, what they need, what they want, and we become their advocate and we become their companion during that time, and we don't leave.
End of life coaching tomorrow at 5. This music is by Coffee Brown from Oakland. She's playing at the Ivy Room in Albany this Saturday night.
She was young and fine, nothing but having fun on her mind. He was young and angry, looking for someone to control.
Today's Cross Currents team includes Jonathan Davis, Magnolia McKay, Kevin McLean, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega-Welch, True Gwynn, and Alice Wolfley. Our engineers are Tariq Foda, Gabe Graben, and Kristen McCandless. Content manager is Shireen Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hena Baba.
She was young and foolish. Thought he was so cool, but does he really love me? Is all that she could say. Does he really love me? Then why does he treat me this way?
We're going to leave you today with an edition of My Mixtape, where we ask someone to tell us about a song that's special to them.
Get your mixtapes.
$5 mixtape.
We take Venmo.
I owe you.
Now I take those two.
CDs.
USBs.
LEDs.
I can make a tray.
Oh, what?
You got tapes? No. I got a mixtape for you.
My name is Adonald Foyle. I live in the East Bay. And the song that I wanted to really highlight is... Off's Kamina Barana. It starts off in the trenches and it rises to this epic battle of the soul. And I sit there thinking, oh my goodness. As an NBA player, I would walk into all of these different arena and they would start playing like da, 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 da. And you know, it's like I look around the arena and like no one is appreciating this magnificent piece of music. And like I felt like I had this secret. I knew something that no one in this arena knew. They're just taking the verse and they're not burying themselves in what I consider to be piece of the most unbelievable music that has ever been written.
You can find more songs and stories from our My Mixtape series at KALW.org. That's also where you'll find instructions on how you can submit your own to our collection.